Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the World Wide Web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fine. Don't take it from me.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
This is Wretched Radio. Whether you've killed anybody's father or not, you need to prepare to die. Have you seen the statistics? Woof. 1,000 out of 1,000 die. You can blame Adam and Eve if you want to, but because of sin, we still live under the curse and we experience the effects of the fall, and ain't nobody going to escape it. I don't care how hard you try to find a fountain of youth. I don't care if you think you can lop off your head, have it frozen in a laboratory, and then be warmed up when we can attach you to a younger body. I don't care if you think we can put a chip in your brain that makes you immortal somehow. You're gonna die. It's a guarantee. And by the way, death is a wonderful evangelistic tool. If somebody ever asks you, well, what are you doing out here? Why are you bothering people? I've actually been asked that before. It was California, nevertheless. And there's a difference witnessing in California versus witnessing in the South. Believe me. And I remember a fellow saying, What are you doing? What's the point of all of this? And if I'd had my wits about me, I could have perhaps stated, I'm so glad you asked. Imagine a man walking through a field when he stumbles over a treasure chest. He goes through all of the authorities who determine it's yours. You rightfully own the treasure chest. How elated would you be, and how desirous would you be to share it with others? My friend, I found a treasure chest, and I want to share it with you. Are you interested in knowing what's in that chest? Because it seems to me we all have a fear of dying. Do you ever have that fear? Well, let's open up the treasure chest to see how that fear might be dealt a fatal blow so you don't have to fear death, which is what the author of Hebrews, aka Bob, states. Everybody has a fear of death. We know it's coming, and yet how many of us prepare for it? So let us, this is going to be a ratings bonanza. Let's talk about dying and death, shall we? I just heard, Jimmy, wow. You know, we hear enough stinker sermons around here. So when you hear a good one, you got to talk about it. I heard a really good one at Alpharetta Bible Church on Sunday.
Oh, did you preach it?
You know, that's irrelevant.
Okay.
I still heard it.
That's right.
It was about illness. Because in Matthew chapter 8, you see Jesus. And I fear we have lost so many of the poignant details of this narrative from Matthew. The centurion sends emissaries. In Matthew, it says the centurion came. In Luke, it says that these Jewish ambassadors came. It's one and the same. If somebody on your behalf goes to speak for you, they're speaking for you. So it certainly wasn't wrong of Matthew to say the centurion said when it was those represent. It's as if he was saying it. That is not a contradiction. That harmonizes just fine. Thank you very much. And they said there's a centurion and he's got a servant that's dying. And do you know what Jesus said? Hold on. You cut in line. Get to the back, pal. Besides, a centurion? That's a Roman non-Jew oppressive officer. Not interested. Nope. He immediately said, I'll come heal him. Without even being invited. You got somebody sick? I'm on my way. It shows that Jesus is willing. We saw it in the miracle that preceded it. The leper. whatever the skin disease was, it was bad enough, visible enough, that Jesus told him, you got to obey Leviticus 13 and you got to get yourself to the priest now that you're healed to make your offering as commanded by Moses. So he had some form, probably, of Hansen's disease. We call it leprosy. And what did Jesus do with that man? Touched him. He touched him. That makes you ceremonially unclean. Why would Jesus do that? It should instruct us. Our Savior, he's courageous, he's confident, but he's also willing to touch people who are ill because he knows that need of physical touch. The poor fellow probably had not received an embrace from anybody for forever, and Jesus touched him. What a Savior. And he was asked the question, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I'm willing. And then in Mark chapter 1, the parallel account, Mark tosses in this detail that Jesus was filled with splanchnizomai, which is a Greek word that means your guts, your inner man. We use the word compassion. The ancients considered the seat of your affections, your bowels. When you're moved, a feeling, whatever feeling is so powerful, you feel it in your guts. There's a name for a word that sounds like a word. I can't remember what that name is, and I don't even know what it sounds like, but that was one of those words, splanchnizomai. Just has that guttural gut sort of from down there feeling. That's how Jesus felt when he saw the man with skin disease. And Matthew repeated that sentiment four times later in the Gospel of Matthew. He's compassionate. He's willing. Then consider next episode, next miracle in that day. He goes to Peter's house and he makes a beeline to the sick mom. Doesn't stop in the kitchen. Doesn't grab a little something to eat. Would you care for a beverage? Sure. Do you have any sweet tea? Because that, of course, is the most biblical drink available. What? You should affirm that as a Southerner.
I do.
I was just trying to be all things to all people.
Thank you.
That I might win some Southerners. Something like that. He made a beeline to her. She had a fever. So imagine the woman trembling, sick, sweating. He touched her. Was he asked to heal her? Nope. Moved with compassion, he healed her. And that raises the profound question. So if Jesus is so tender, so kind, so generous, so strong, so mighty, so willing, why doesn't he heal me now? Why didn't he heal my loved one? Why do I have a sick child? And we then need to remember the totality of Scripture. Because we see this willing Jesus, he healed indiscriminately. He healed those with faith, those without faith. Yeah, I'm looking at you, word faith preachers. Not everybody had faith who was healed. In fact, there are 35 miracles in the Gospels. 10 of them mention faith accompanying it. Your faith has made you well. 25 don't. In fact, two of them, the centurion and Jairus' daughter, talk about the faith of another. It was Jairus's daughter who was sick, it was his faith that made her well. What do we conclude? That what you're seeing on Prosperity TV, the word faith doctrine, is rank. It is so wicked, because if you don't get healed, you don't have enough faith. How cruel are the shoes, the expensive shoes of word faith prosperity preachers? Why doesn't Jesus heal? He's so willing. In fact, consider the culmination of human history. What's going to happen? You're going to get a body that's built for forever. You're going to be healed. And this, by the way, was provided for in the atonement, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. But not yet. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to get saved. Paul had a thorn. Timothy had a bad belly. There were people who continued to be ill, even though they were professing Christians in the New Testament. Why? Because even though physical healing, it is indeed guaranteed because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ who heals our diseases. First of all, Matthew says he really fulfilled that with all of the healings that he did in Israel. But we also have a not yet fulfillment of the physical healing that was purchased for us in the atonement. When God takes us home, when God returns and he gathers together his bride, you're going to live on this redeemed earth with your body forever, and it's going to have no diseases. That's his plan. We can't question God's goodness. We can't debate whether or not he's willing. We can't conclude maybe he's moody. He was kind of crabby in the Old Testament. He was pretty nice around Jesus' time, but maybe, well, he's just gotten a little grumpy and he doesn't like to. You can't come to that conclusion because the fulfillment of all things is going to be you getting an eternal body, no diseases, no more tears, no more suffering. You're going to get a body just like Jesus, built to last for forever. So we can't question God's goodness. But then we must ask, what is the obvious question? Why? And you might think we dare not ask God that question. And I would concur, if you are asking that question with a loaded gun, why? Why are you doing this? We never get to be angry with God. But we can ask him why in a childlike way. And you say, well, why can we ask him why at all if he's God and he's supreme and he reigns? The answer to that question, and the reason that perhaps he's not healing you now, next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and listen on a daily basis. And look, things are changing around here. You've heard us talking about it, and it's going to be a reality very soon. Later this year, 8 powerful voices joining this ministry. Men like Tim Challies, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Krotz, and others, they will be joining this ministry, creating content, writing articles, making videos, creating resources and podcasts. This is going to be something like you've never seen before, and we need your help in order to make this a possibility. Log on to our website at wretched.org/fellows to get all of the information on how you can join us in our current $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you're able to give to this new effort will be matched and doubled. We need your partnership in order to make this happen. Wretched.org/fellows is where you get the details. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just just about watching others. It's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Important dates in Christian history. 529 AD. Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Segways Aren't Us. This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Speaking of death and dying.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to kill me?
Did that sound kind of Scandinavian right there? Yeah. A little bit. Did I just revert to Minnesota speak?
Why are you trying to kill me?
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I don't recall trying to kill you.
Well, you know, there are a lot of new podcasts coming.
Oh, you want me to talk about the new initiative? Look at that segue. You are as subtle as a cannon. There's a new initiative here in Wretched World. The name of the ministry, Gospel Partners Media. We are launching, and I mean launching. Actually, it's almost like a complete facelift, you know, sort of like Lionel Richie. I actually was flipping by the channels. It was Sunday night. I didn't know American Idol was still on 22 seasons.
Yep. We saw that last night.
Whoa. Lionel, we know you're in your 70s. That's all. You're a nice man. I'm just saying nobody's fooled. Jimmy is talking about the podcast that we are going to be launching with this new initiative, this almost total facelift of Gospel Partners Media. We're adding 8 new voices, 8 theologians, rock solid dudes who are going to be speaking into different areas of interest to the Christian, whether it's church history, whether it's theology proper, whether it is young men, and we got to be talking more to the young men, whether it's science with Jason Lyle, whatever the area of interest, we've got guys who are going to be doing podcasts, videos, articles, books, resources, webinars, new website, new app, the whole shebang, and we could use your partnership. We've got a $250,000 matching campaign right now. That's just incredible. And so many people are stepping up, and I would like to encourage you to help us get to our goal. Now, because, by the way, just to share something without actually sharing it with you, we've got phase 2 of this in 2025, part 2 of this initiative. I can't tell you what it is, but I'm telling you, I don't know of any other ministry that will be doing what we're doing in 2025. And we could use your support in 2024 to make all of this happen. Dollar for dollar match right now, wretched.org/donate, wretched.org/donate. You got no segues to get me back now into the actual content of the program? I got you, Jimmy.
Okay.
Please give or Jimmy will get sick and die. Hey, that brings us back to the subject of illness. Why doesn't our willing Savior heal now? I was able to write down 24 reasons. 24. And here's how I came up with it. Looking at Matthew chapter 8, 1 through 17, we see the willingness of Jesus to heal. Read the Gospel of Mark. Immediately, he's healing everybody. Many came to him. Many were laid at his feet. He healed. Virtually obliterating illness in Israel. Why doesn't he heal today? And after I read through those 17 verses, I wrote down 16 descriptors of what we see Jesus doing and being as he went about the business of healing those 3 people, which, by the way, Jesus at the end of the day, Matthew tells us he healed a leper, he healed a centurion, and then he healed Peter's mother. That was not the end of the day. And then they brought many to him, and he healed them all. He's a hardworking Savior who loves to heal people tenderly, compassionately, kindly. And those are some of the descriptors that I came up with. Here they are. We see in those verses that Jesus is courageous, compassionate, kind, willing, sympathetic. He heals totally. In other words, he's powerful. He's instantaneous when he heals. He's obviously divine. He's safe because there's no side effects with Jesus. He's compassionate. He touches people. He's non-discriminatory. He heals pagan soldiers, servants. He's fearless, touching a leper and a woman with a fever. He's tender, tireless, and he's clearly messianic because he fulfilled the prophecies that we would have a healing Messiah. So now the question, with that as a backdrop, is if he's not healing you or me or a loved one, there must be a most excellent reason for it. Listen to the words of Richard Baxter. God often sees it good for us to be sick and to continue so long a time when he hath higher and more spiritual ends than our health and ease in it. Higher and more spiritual ends. Thomas Watson. God has not told us in so many words that he will heal us, but he has said much about our duty to trust him for healing. If he does not heal us, here it comes, he has good reason for not doing so. Hopefully you can bear this, my Arminian friends. John Calvin, God has the power to heal, and he can do so according to his will. However, we must always remember that God's ultimate concern is not just physical healing, but the spiritual well-being of his people. Sometimes he chooses to heal miraculously, other times through natural means, and sometimes he allows suffering for his own purposes. I would actually amend that. He always does. He's never not doing something. He's always doing something in our tragedies. And by the way, you can expand the illness category into anything difficult: persecution, familial acrimony, broken relationships, employment challenges. Well, he could fix it all. Why doesn't he do that now? Because he has greater purposes. He wants to do more for you. He wants to take you from the slums where we sit and make mud pies to the seashore to say, look at all the good things that I have for you. And I'm going to get your attention one way. I am so good. I am such a kind father that I am going to ordain difficult things for your life that a spiritual eternal fruit can come from it. So here are, let's just call it 25 ways or 25 things that God is doing in your difficulty. One, he wants you to pray more. Number two, he wants you to rely on him more. He wants to humble you. He wants to keep you from becoming conceited. Anybody in the Bible have a thorn to keep him from becoming conceited? Oh yeah, the Apostle Paul. And what did he do? He prayed more. Three times I prayed. What is difficult? What does pain do? It causes us to go to our knees. I can't control this. I can't fix this. I must look to the heavens and appeal to my benevolent God to help me in my time of trouble. That's what Paul did. And God said, no, it's there so that you do not get conceited. You're doing all those miracles. You got all those revelations. I'm going to keep you humble. Wasn't that kind of God? That's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12. He wants to show power through our weakness. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians 12. He wants you to read your Bible more. He wants you to grow in perseverance, character, and hope. That's the promise of Romans 5, 3 through 4 and James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it joy. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Hey, you mean I could be mature if I let God do his sanctifying work in my sickness? Yep. He wants you to trust his promises more. Maybe he wants to pry an idol from your hands. He wants to make you strong, firm, steadfast. That's 1 Peter 5:10. He wants you to spend time examining your walk. He wants you to look more like the poor in spirit beatitudes that he described as being the hallmarks of a genuine believer. Maybe he wants you to mourn over your sin more. Maybe he wants to produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. That's Hebrews 12:11. Maybe he wants you to heal some relationships with your family. This is not inconceivable. A parent who's been separated from child, and we can paint many scenarios, but I think this one is valid. The kid has been awful. The kid has been terrible to mom and dad, never writes, never sends a card. Hears that mom or dad is sick. in the hospital. What happens? Kid comes running. How many relationships have been restored through illness? My point is he's doing something. He's always doing something. He wants to grow you in long suffering. He wants to grow you in sympathy and empathy. He wants you to search your heart and discover sin that requires repentance. He wants you to grow in gratitude. He wants you to be comforted and then comfort others with the comfort that you have been given. 2 Corinthians 1. You learn and then you can help others through the exact same thing. How many times do we see that in the local body? Maybe he wants you to share your testimony of the good that can come from your suffering. He wants to prepare you for greater suffering. He wants you to become more like his son. He wants you to demonstrate his power in your weakness. Oh, there's your 2 Corinthians 12 again. He wants you to grow in assurance. Ooh, how many people long for assurance? And perhaps God has ordained illness, difficulty, whatever package it's delivered in, so that you can know you genuinely, you've endured through it. He took you through it. I am his. Maybe he wants you to be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. 1 Peter 4. Maybe he wants to fit you for heaven, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. God could be giving you difficulty so that you can be storing up treasures in heaven and enjoy him more for forever. Is that an exhaustive list? Not even close, but you can be assured of this. If you're going through a difficulty, it is because God loves you, dear Christian, and he wants to do something for you. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. Because God's people disobeyed, he sent them into exile. The book of Ezra tells us of Israel's return under Ezra's leadership and preaching, and how Israel underwent a period of intense reformation. When you experience divine chastisement, look to Ezra to see that God's discipline is meant for your restoration and reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't take it from me.
Didn't we do this already?
Don't take it from me. Take it from William Shatner.
Live life.
You're ready.
Live life like you're gonna die. Because you're gonna. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you're gonna die.
Indeed.
Maybe not today or even next year, but before you know it, you'll be saying, is this all there was? What was all the fuss? Why did I bother? Now, maybe you won't suffer, maybe it's quick, but you'll have time to think, why did I waste it? Why didn't I taste it? You'll have time, because you're gonna die.
Are you ready for it? This is Wretched Radio, preparing to die. Not a popular subject, but it should be. Is there anything else that we share in common with everybody? These mega churches that are seeker sensitive, they're looking to scratch the itch. They want to find out, hey, what makes people tick so that we can put on a second rate version of it? And bury anything that is true and helpful in an effort to help them. Oh, is it financial tips? That's a really popular one with seeker sensitive pastors. Parenting. We could give them parenting. Everybody needs help with a marriage. They need help with life hacks. We can help them with work productivity. How's about death? Everybody sitting in a congregation is going to die. We all share it. Why isn't there more preparation for it? Well, we, bucking the trend, and probably against all wisdom, would like to help us all prepare to die because William Shatner's right. We're gonna. And the process of dying is not one that we should say yippee-skippy about, but when we do take our last breath, that'll be the best second of our lifetime. In a twinkling of an eye, you'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. You will be with your Savior. I don't have, maybe I've got it somewhere in my stack. It was a a Puritan who was preaching to a congregation who had lost somebody, and everybody was kind of sad about it. And the title of his sermon is, "How Could You Be So Cruel?" And you go, "Whoa, Puritan, how could you be so cruel? People are mourning there. Give them some space." Well, he was asking the question, "How can you be so cruel?" in consideration of what the beloved friend was experiencing currently in heaven. Would you be so cruel to take him away from Jesus? Would you be so cruel to want him back here and remove him from all of the pleasures that our God has prepared for those who love him? Would you be so cruel to want your loved one back when you know that for the first time they know what it means to be fully human and to live in light of the reality of God's love? Would you take them away from experiencing the height, the width, the depth, the breadth of the love of God in Christ? How could you be so cruel? Because when we die, it's going to be the best. Getting there might not be so fun. Listen for a theme. I have some quotes from Johnny Erickson Tada. You know where I got these quotes, Jimmy? AI. That's right. I'm an AI. Well, I did.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with using. It's just like a search engine on steroids. And they came up with these five quotes from Johnny Erickson Tada. You know that when she was a young girl, she dove into a lake, I believe. She broke her neck. And she's been in a wheelchair ever since. And she needs 24/7 care. And she's been at this for 50 years now. 50 years. Here's what she said. "Even though I would have never chosen this path of suffering, I wouldn't trade the closeness I found with God for anything." Whoa. "While my injury was unexpected and painful, the blessings and lessons I've received from it have been invaluable. I wouldn't trade them for anything. God has used my injuries in ways I never could have imagined. The blessings that have come from it have enriched my life in ways I could not have foreseen. The trials and challenges I face because of my injury have deepened my faith and relationship with God." Hear the refrain, "I wouldn't trade that for anything. Though my injury brought much pain and hardship, the blessings that have emerged from it have been more than worth it. I wouldn't change a thing." Whew. Whew. That's top shelf Christianity right there. And I know, and you can ask her, she didn't feel that way initially. I don't know how many years, maybe how many decades it took her to get to this place. But you will hardly hear a woman sing "Amazing Grace" more sweetly than this woman, because she has allowed the Lord's sovereign will to produce the fruit that he desires when he ordains difficulties. He never does anything to his children. He only does things for his children. He is not punishing you for a sin. Now, your illness might be a consequence for your sin. That is a possibility. But you're never punished for your sins. Jesus was punished for your sins. Now, you need to ask the question, "Why me, Lord? What would you like me to learn in this?" Because you must, or you would not provide this difficulty. You can say permit if you want. Let's just say ordain, so we don't have to get into the technicalities of theodicy. He's doing something. You need to know that. And if you've been diagnosed with something that's really scary and it's soon going to be the end, I can encourage you to look forward to that second when you're going to be with Jesus. It'll be a second unlike any other, and you're going to experience it for all of eternity. And you need to know, if the process is hard, he's in it. He's there. He's not responding. He's ordaining, because he wants to do something for you. A good thing. A thing that no other means would bring about. God doesn't delight in suffering. God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. We can't ever conclude that he must be happy, that I have a terminal illness. Of course, death is a foe. It's a defeated foe. But it does not make God happy. Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the deaths of his beloved children. Precious. And you need to know that even as you start marching toward the end, he wants to do something for you and with you. Might you be able to witness to the nurses? Even to hospice care? The doctor who scratches his atheistic head and wonders, why, how can you be this way when you're so sick? How can you react this way? You almost seem to have joy in the midst of this. And look at the opportunity you have to point to Jesus' strength in your weakness. All we need to do is look around. It's all we need to do. And don't forget, this isn't just sickness. Right now, perhaps, you have a rotten child who is treating you so poorly. God's in it. I know that if you're in this, it can feel hard, which is why it's so much better to have two distinctives of God clear in your brain before the difficulties come: sovereignty and goodness. You need both of those things. You need a God who is all-powerful, but you need a God who is good. Otherwise, that power will be used malevolently, and that's terrifying. But he is both sovereign, powerful, and good. And he's doing things for you with that prodigal child. Do you know why you have... Now, again, if you're in it, this is not an eye poke. So whatever your dip, let me make it generic so you don't feel like I'm coming after you. Do you know why you have your difficulty right now? Because you need it, or God wouldn't send it or permit it. Because he's good, and he never does anything to his children. He only does things for his children. Our good physician never gives a cup of poison to his beloved children, only that which will heal us or grow us in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There are so many things. He could be knocking pride right out of our hearts. You had three great kids, and then you've got the Tasmanian devil. Maybe it's God's way of saying, be a little more humble. Whatever it is, remember his sovereignty, remember his goodness, and you'll be able to march to that last second joyfully. This is Wretched Radio.
I'm so excited about this.
That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
As you know, we've been sharing with you some big changes that are coming very soon here to Gospel Partners Media. 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. These men that are joining our ministry will be creating compelling content that will speak truth into our darkening culture. I'm talking about men like Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Protz, and others. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. And remember, while we would love to have your financial partnership, we covet your prayers even more. wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 tells us that God is jealous. Jealousy is an intense desire to protect one's own glory, honor, and name. Since God is perfect, it is only right for him to protect his own glory. Take comfort knowing that God will receive glory, and his glory is good for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, look at how prolific Jimmy is today. This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead, Jimmy. Share your segue.
I was just going to say everything you were just talking about suffering and getting sovereignty in order before you enter a season of suffering is talked about in Tim Challey's Seasons of Sorrow.
And that has what to do with anything?
He's going to be one of the new powerful voices joining.
Another opportunity to encourage you to please consider supporting us financially right now as we launch a massive initiative. It's our version of the Daily Wire, basically. We're assembling really bright minds, good thinkers, and communicators for podcasts and for books and for resources. I think Tim is going to be doing a resource. He's going to come into the studio, or he's doing a webinar, perhaps. And he's going to help those of us who are suffering, who have lost a loved one. How helpful will that be? Furthermore, he's going to be doing church book reviews. That will be helpful. He's going to be just one of our eight fellows. Right now, we have a $250,000 match campaign. So every dollar you give now is matched dollar for dollar. Would encourage you, if you can support us now, we would be so grateful. And please know, the launching of this initiative, it ain't the end. We got more goodies coming, but we just need partners. We do this together. We come here every day because of you. We don't do anything without you. So if you can, if you have the means, if you're already given to your local church, please consider being a gospel partner so that we can continue to reach more people and help more people. You can do that at wretched.org/donate, wretched.org/donate. Preparing to die. An article from, these glasses are disgusting. This is an article. Have you ever bought? You heard me. Have you ever purchased those wipes at the Costco?
I've got plenty in my office.
Yeah, if you went to Costco, you've got a crate of them. Have you ever gone through all of them while they were still moist?
No,
they always, I bought the 1,000-pack, and I got like 980 left of these things. I could use one right now, I'll tell you that much. 33% of church members are older than 35. This is from Elizabeth, T-U-R-N-A-G-E. My apologies, Elizabeth. 33% of members in churches are older than 65. Who's there? Death! I'm coming, because a lot of people in churches, the sand in their hourglass. is more prolific on the bottom than it is on the top. And many congregations are not preparing their people to die. Now, I'm not talking about the spiritual. I'm talking about the practical. Now, I thought this was a really helpful article because perhaps you've seen it. Somebody dies and it's a mess for the family. They don't know what to do. They're just, well, what you get this, I get that. Shut up. You hit me when I was four. And on it goes. We can prepare for those things to at least minimize them. So here's some tips. First of all, of course, talk about death and dying. This should be a subject that we handle regularly because death is inevitable and our Savior came to conquer death. He died so we can live. The sting of death is gone. We can talk about this subject. But we get into more practical things. Offering resources, workshops, and courses on practical preparation. These are documents for those that you leave behind. Or if you become incapacitated, don't leave that on your kids to sort. Do we intervene? Do we use this to sustain what appears to be life, but doesn't look like it's going to be for long? Help your kids. Make those decisions. Make those decisions for yourself. You'll bless them. Prepare a will, an advanced directive, a durable power of attorney, and a clear record of your footprint, your digital footprint. What are your passwords? These are just practical. Like, oh yeah, I guess I should put all that stuff down. Maybe you've been a manager at work. You want all of that information. When somebody leaves the organization, bingo, write it down. You're leaving. And those left behind, that was not an eschatological sort of reference, but those left behind could use it. It saves some pain. Provide biblical guidance on arrangements for the body and funeral services. Your family's going to squabble if you don't. So how are you going to be buried? Said it before 100 times. I don't think it's a sin to get cremated. I think the better way for Christians is burial. It shows hope in the resurrection of the dead that we are going to have an eternal body. You're not sinning by getting cremated. I just think that the better word is spoken when we do burial, which is what we see all throughout the Bible. Cremation tended to be the practice of the pagans. I'm not saying you're a pagan if you know somebody who did or you're thinking about that for yourself. I'm just saying I think that there is a better word spoken with burial. Let your family know. What do you want the service to be? You can provide a Sunday school class, a yearly workshop, a pamphlet. Sound biblical guidance will help your church members leave clear instructions for their grieving loved ones. Number 6, I think. Help people to share a spiritual legacy. I love this idea. Love it. Why? Because it's a testimony, and I get verklempt over testimonies. How's about for the youth group, rather than shielding them from those old people, how's about bringing one in and sharing a testimony and saying, this is what it looks like. This is what you can anticipate. This is what you should be preparing for. Wow, do we need those models today? I'm telling you, the constant refrain that I hear from younger people is they just don't know how to do this. We've coined a term, I've got to do adulting. Yeah, because they're not being taught it. How's about if we have some senior saints sharing it? The psalmist Asaph called the Israelites to pass down the stories of their faith. Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. In the same way, why don't we have people sharing stories of perseverance, stories of redemption, stories of healed marriages, stories of the joy of being married for... was thinking about this. If I lost all of my friends, all of them, so I kind of reverse Job, like all of my friends, that would be really hard. That would be really hard. Hold on, I'll keep going. To lose one's parents, oof, oof, that's hard. But losing my wife, I couldn't breathe. And you say, I can't even fathom that. But I'm here to tell you, it happens, and it can happen, and it can happen for you. Even if you're in a rotten marriage at the moment, it can be sweet. It can become that over the years. If you're young and you're putting off marriage because it's just terrifying to you, know the fruit that will be born from marriage. You will never be closer to anybody. You say, well, I'll be closer to my kids. Not if you're doing marriage right. Not if you're doing marriage God's way. When you become one, you're not one flesh with your kids. Your kids are at best half flesh. You've got a little DNA in there, but so does your spouse. You're one flesh, according to the Bible, with your wife. We need these testimonies. We need people to hear these things so that they can go, all right. Hey, you mean so all those social media messages about marriage being a disaster aren't always true? That's right. From the article, a spiritual legacy can include stories, expertise, blessings, and wisdom. Workshops that help people record their spiritual legacy in the form of letters, lists, stories, or audio or video recordings. What a lovely way to bless your progeny for generations. We can also host events in which older people are interviewed and younger generations have the opportunity to hear how God has worked in their lives. Whoa. That's preparing for death. Another component of preparing for death is preparing for loved ones to die. How do you grieve? How do you go about doing that? How do you figure out how to mourn with hope? We should be teaching on these things because it's inevitable. And here's the great news. Our God knows that we need it. And guess what? He's so kind that he's provided it for us in the Bible and in the saints that surround us in the context of the local church. No, I don't believe that a local body should become mournful and always walking around in sackcloth and ashes and, well, we're going to talk about death again. No, that's depressing. But perhaps maybe we should be talking about death more. Because the reality is, everybody does have an innate fear of it. And Jesus wants us to be able to overcome it because he's defeated death and we don't need to face it in terror. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.